Welcome to We Mentor Mondays podcast with Nancy. Get inspired. Break through to new dimensions with your peers on the entrepreneurial journey of self-discovery. Learn something new from our stories today. Well, welcome to We Mentor Mondays with Nancy. In the studio today, we have Nicole Fenstead. She's a professional actress and the founder of Princess Party Pals. Welcome into the studio, Nicole.
Thank you, Nancy.
Nicole has just finished filling out the self-awareness mentoring journal. And for our listeners' sake, they know that there's four different categories that we're trying to look at and get in touch with within ourselves of how we're feeling just in this moment. So would you like to just check in with the audience?
Sure.
And myself?
So things that I'm feeling at this moment are awareness, curious, joyful, trusting of the higher power, optimistic, enthusiastic, overwhelmed, courageous, challenged, determined, and overextended.
And what would you like to expand on a little bit more? Give us a few more details.
I feel courageous because this feels a little outside my comfort zone. Okay. Being an actress, I typically am used to working with scripts.
Oh, sure.
So sometimes doing things off the cuff makes me nervous.
Yes.
A little bit.
Yeah.
And so I was giving myself a pep talk on the way over here, just telling myself, this is great. You're going to expand yourself. You're going to grow from this. So I do a lot of self-talk and self-soothing to myself when I'm feeling overwhelmed or nervous about things. So that was kind of my feelings coming into it.
Yeah.
But determined that I can do it. and then I do like challenges. And I think I really I do well when I'm presented with a challenge. And it kind of excites me to I'm an overachiever, so I like achieving.
Okay, great. Yeah. And we've put the bar of high enough so you feel like you're out of your comfort level. So
exactly.
You're going to see what that experience is like.
Yes.
So we're going to explore it. Excellent. All right. When we talked and I said, we're going to talk about your experiences and kind of how you grew up and those kinds of things. What were some of the thoughts that came to mind when you were thinking about that?
Well, one of the first things I thought of was about how important my family is and how encouraging my family has always been to become a performer and to become an actor. And I know there are so many stories about people who've not been supported by their family to become an actor or to try to make a living doing theater. And one story that I always remember is I was a gymnast when I was younger. And I remember my mom driving me to gymnastics, and I was in seventh grade or eighth grade, I think. And she asked me, we were talking about, what you want to be when you grow up. And I told her that I wanted to be a child psychologist. And she said, really? I'm that's great. I'm just surprised by that. I thought maybe you would want to be an actress. And I'll go back with this because I had just done my first play. I guess it was eighth grade. I had just done my first musical or first play, and I just loved it. I loved it so much, but I didn't even know that it was an option to become an actor. I thought it was just something that you saw on TV and something that people were, in the movies, but I didn't think that I could actually be that.
Because that seemed very far away.
Oh.
Being in Fargo, North Dakota.
Exactly.
Is that where you grew up? Yeah.
Just unattainable.
Yeah.
And so my mom is the one that really planted the seed for me that I could do whatever I wanted. And that I could become an actor and that was a possibility.
Oh, that's so great. Yeah. So when you think, when you first thought about talking on air, you were thinking about appreciating your family.
Yeah, and just the encouragement for me to use the gifts that I have been given.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. And where did you grow up?
So Fargo is where I grew up, in South Fargo. And I had a great, great program that I was involved with in the summer called Trollwood Performing Arts School. And it was, I mean, just the most magical, fairy-like, amazing performing arts school. They did classes in the summer of singing, acting, dance, technical side of theater as well. And after I retired from gymnastics, I was in it for 7 years, I got involved with theater, and that was right after I had done the first show in eighth grade. And it is still running in Fargo, North Dakota. It's a amazing, amazing performing arts school. And it went all summer. In the first month, we did all classes. In the second month, they did a big production, a musical production that was back in the day. I guess it still is now, too. It's outdoors. Okay. And it was really neat. So all of the high schools, you had to be typically in high school to be a part of the production. So that was the first year I think I could have been a part of it going into ninth grade. And it was just amazing because you would audition with all of the local kids from all the different schools in town, not just, you know, when you did a production in your own school, but you'd kind of compete against everyone in town. And the first year I didn't make the play, but I was hooked with all the classes and stuff. It was just really neat. And then the second year I did make the play, and it was Fiddler on the Roof. Mm. And that experience was amazing. We had an amazing artistic director. Her name was Vicky Shapoulis, and she is about as magical as it gets. You know, I think her theme is pretty much anything is possible, and that's for me what Trollwood was about, that you could dream and you could be anything. Mm. And I feel really lucky that I had all those influences around me when I was younger, because I could just be who I was and, you know, use the talents that I had. And it was great. So I did that for 4 years.
Okay.
And so those are some of my, you know, the best part of my childhood. It was just a great seed planting time for me to, you know, eventually bloom from that.
Sure. And do you have any siblings?
I do. I have three brothers.
Okay.
They're younger than me, and they're all, you know, a little bit musical. They're not in the arts like I am, but they all sang, they play, you know, instruments, guitar, piano, all that sort of thing.
Okay. So Fiddler on the Roof, what were some of the other experiences or within the plays that helped you to kind of develop different characters?
In Fargo, there was a wonderful dance studio called the Red River Dance, and there were just some wonderful teachers there, the Gaspers, mm-hmm. who used to be on Broadway and lived in New York, and we were so lucky to have them and their influence in town. And I belonged to their dance studio during the year, and then they would choreograph the shows in the summer. So it was amazing to work with them. They're so talented. And, you know, it's like they kind of had the best of the best in the city. You know, like the best professors and music teachers in town would come to Trollwood to teach you and be musical directors and choreograph. And, you know, they had lighting designers from Hawaii and other places. And, you know, it was just, you felt really honored to be a part of the productions there.
Well, and it probably helped you to figure out that there's a bigger world outside where you were.
Right.
You know, that people are, you're curious to explore where they've come from.
Exactly.
Yeah. So after high school, what'd you do?
I went to Minnesota State University, Moorhead, and I got a BA in theater. You know, I always wanted that college experience of going away. And I initially wanted to go to St. Olaf because they had a dance program, and they also had a great music and theater program. Mm-hmm. But circumstances, I ended up going to school locally, but it turned out to just be an awesome experience. They had what's called a summer stock, summer theater program that was affiliated with the college. So not only did I get to do shows throughout the year, but I also got to do shows in the summer. And that was an amazing, amazing experience. They did like 7 shows in 8 weeks, maybe, or 7 or 8 weeks. Wow. So you got to do a lot of different things. And it's like kind of like boot camp. Like, I mean, you would go 3 sessions from like 10 to 1 and 2 to 6 and then 8 to 11, you know, 7 days a week, all summer.
And you were changing into different characters?
Yep, doing like five or six different shows. And the awesome thing is they would bring people in from all over the country that I still have, I'm friends with today, people from New York and, you know, all over. That's kind of what actors do in the summers. They go off and do summer stock in different cities to to do a lot of theater. So I spent quite a few summers doing that, and that was really cool.
So when you think back at your fondest memories in your childhood and youth, is it the theater?
I think so. Theater and dance and music. More so, I think, than any sport or that I had done. Because I think I felt the most like myself doing theater.
Okay.
And I know people would sometimes ask me the question, well, how did you choose to be an actor? And my response is always, I didn't choose it, that it chose me.
Okay.
And I think when you find something where you feel really connected and authentic to,
yeah,
then you really can be who you are and you really get to shine.
Yes.
And I feel lucky that I have been able to do that.
Sure. And so you're after you graduated from school, you got a degree in acting?
I did, in theater.
In theater, yep. Right. Okay. And then you decided to move somewhere.
Well, you know, I never saw myself going to New York. I was always very afraid of that. I don't even really know what I saw myself doing. But one summer after I graduated, I went to Wisconsin to do summer theater like I did back in my college. But this was called Northern Lights Playhouse in the middle of Wisconsin. And it was another like do 6, 7, 8 shows for the whole summer. So I was there for 3 or 4 months. And, you know, this was the first time that I had actually gotten paid to do theater. So I think I was paid $120 a week. And, I mean, I thought that was like jackpot, you know, 1994, yeah. $120 a week. I'd made it. So I was there all summer from the end of May to like the middle of October. And when I was done, I mean, I had absolutely no idea. But I'd met people, again, from all over the country who had come to do the shows there. And it was toward the end of the summer, and we all kind of started to think, what are we going to do? Where are we going to go? And we're all kind of in the same boat. And one of my friends, she was older. She was an older actor that they brought in, I don't know, maybe in at that time, I don't know, in her 50s or 60s. But she had a newspaper called The Backstage. And she was showing me The Backstage, and this was what actors used in New York to find auditions and to go to auditions. It came out every Thursday, and actors would get this newspaper and they would, you know, circle the auditions that they'd want to go to if they're right for it. And so I was like looking at her backstage one day, and this was, I think, at the end of August. And Beauty and the Beast had just been on Broadway. And I wanted to be Belle so bad. I thought that I was just meant to be Belle. And I saw that they were having an audition for Belle. So I said, you know what? I'm going to go to that. I'm going to go to that audition. I'd never been to New York before, but the audition happened to be on a day that I had off. So I was in the middle of Wisconsin, and we had one day off, mind you. So we had Mondays off, and then we had a show on Tuesday. So I booked a flight. My friend and I drove to Chicago, and we had to drive all night because we had a show till 10 o'clock the night before. We drove all night, and I was going to get on a flight at, I think, 7 in the morning and be there by 8:30, and the audition was at 9. So we got to the airport, and the flight was canceled. And I had, like, a blue dress. I had, like, my long brown wig that I was going to wear. I mean, and these are things that you do not do, but I didn't know that. I was just fresh, green. I didn't know anything,
yeah.
Which is sometimes the best gift, to not know anything.
Yeah.
So I got there and I was like, I don't know, what are we going to do? Should we just turn around and go back? And my friend said, no, you've come all this way. Like, I had all these cheerleaders for me. Like, you have to go to New York. You have to do it. I was like, okay. So I look around and I'm trying to find another flight to get on. And eventually I did find another airline that I could leave, I think, at 9 o'clock. And so it put me in New York like 10:30 or 11. So I get to New York, and I remember asking my friends who'd lived in New York, now, what do you do when you get there? And they're like, you just hail a cab. I said, how do you hail a cab? Yeah. Like, put your arm up like this. I was like, okay. So I put my arm up like that. I got in the cab, and then they said, okay, when you get in the cab, just pull out some paperwork to make it look like you're, you know, professional and you know what you're doing in New York. Don't look around at everything like it's your first time in New York because you don't want to get taken advantage of. So
right, all
I
these
said, okay,
tips.
Okay. So, you know, I got out like my newspaper, my magazines, and I sat and I said, where was it? Like 58th Street Studios or something. NOLA Studios, I think it was. And so he brought me down and I got to the studio about 12 or 12:15. Now, I also had to leave again at 5 o'clock to get back home. So I had 5 hours in New York to become Belle.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, this is
okay.
What I had going on in
yeah,
my head.
Yeah, a little pressure there.
So, like, I got to get to work. So I was very excited. I got up to the studio, and I went to the monitor, and I said, hi, I'm here to audition for Belle. You know, big smile. And they didn't even look up, and they said, do you have your Equity card? And I didn't even know what an Equity card
what
was.
Is it?
It's a union card.
Okay.
In order to audition for a Broadway show, you have to be part of the Actors Equity Association. It's the union.
Okay.
I had no idea. And I said, well, I don't have my card, but is there any way I could get seen anyway? And they said, nope, just leave your picture and resume right there. Next. And I thought, I've come all the way from Wisconsin to
yeah.
be Belle on Broadway. And so I sat down for a second and I went back up and I said, well, what time do they have lunch? And I said, their lunch breaks from 1 to 2. So I thought, you know what? I'm going to just park myself out on the bench. And when they come out for lunch, they're going to take one look at me and they're going to think she should be Belle. I mean, to be that confident again is amazing.
Yeah,
right?
It is. Oh,
oh
totally.
My gosh. So I sat down on the bench and I, you know, took out the backstage again, and I was looking through it, and I thought, oh, I'm just going to see if there's anything else going on. I've never been to New York before. I have like 45 minutes. I should maybe try to do something before they come out. And I saw that they had an audition notice for a cruise ship. It was a cruise ship, Royal Caribbean Cruise Lines, I think it was, and they were looking for singers and dancers. So I thought, you know what? Oh, this is at Radio City.
Oh.
And it was at 12:45. And I thought, I should just zip over there
right.
and sing quick and then come back
yeah.
here. I mean, I had no idea that anyone that even goes to an audition has to stand in line for hours and hours and hours and hours
right.
before
yeah.
to even get an appointment. Again, things I didn't know. So I decided to walk over and I found Radio City. And it was, you know, exciting because that's where the Rockettes were. And I went to the stage door and I said, are you seeing people for the cruise ship? And they said, yes, we're looking for dancers. And I said, oh, is there any way that you might be looking for singers, or would you, you know, be interested in a singer and a dancer? Because I'm mostly a singer versus a dancer. And they said, well, let me see your resume. And I didn't have a ton on my resume, but because I'd done so much summer theater, I mean, I had quite a few things on it that weren't necessarily professional, but I did have a lot of, you know,
yeah.
decent experience for being a college student. So they came back and they said, okay, we're going to bring you in to sing. I was like, great. But it was 1 o'clock and I had at that point to make a decision that do I go with like a sure thing of getting seen or do I go back and try to sit outside the bench to see if they'll
right.
even give me the time of day.
Yeah.
And so at that point I decided to stay at the audition and they had me sing and then they kept me and the dancers came in and I danced a little bit and they cut people and they kept me and they cut people and they kept me and at the end there were 8 people left. And I was one of the 8, and they weighed me and took my measurements, and I went back home and got a call the next day and got
the part.
The part, yeah. So I guess the one thing that I always encourage people to do is to take a risk, because it might not turn out the way that you think it did.
Yeah, this totally didn't, right?
Not at all.
But it was so important that you went to New York and then you got this other audition instead.
But sometimes you're rewarded in different ways that you couldn't, you know, have dreamed to have been the outcome that you thought it was going to be. So, yeah, I mean, that was a cool experience.
So you ended up being on a Caribbean cruise?
I did. I worked on that cruise from, let's see, 1994 to 1995, about 8 or 9 months.
Oh.
Yeah. And after that, I got off a cruise ship and went to Utah to do the opening of this big outdoor theater, a brand new musical they wrote about the settlement of the Mormons called Utah! And it was really fun. I spent 2 summers there in the Red Rock Canyons of St. George, Utah, doing the show. And that was awesome. And then from there, I still had no desire to go to New York, and I was way on the West Coast at that point. And I had a cousin in Orange, California. So I just decided that, well, I have to do something. So I made my way to Los Angeles and stayed there for 6 months. But discovered it wasn't really the right fit for me, not a musical theater place, and that's really where my heart and soul is.
Sure.
But, you know, I ended up getting an operetta out of there, a tour of HMS Pinafore that I toured the U.S. for about 4 or 5 months.
What's HMS Pinafore? Is that
it's
the name of
Gilbert and Sullivan, yep, operetta.
Okay.
And from there, I had met a friend who was moving to New York, and she invited me to come to New York with her. And so it was kind of the right opportunity. I ended up going there with someone and spending then 9 years there.
Oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened during that 9 years?
Oh my gosh, so many different things. I toured a lot. The first thing that I got was a tour of South America doing the musical Grease. And okay. That was really neat. I was there for a couple of months in Brazil and São Paulo. And
what part did you play in Greece?
Well, I've done Greece 4 or 5 times. So okay. I've almost played every part. But I played Patty Simcox the first time, the cheerleader.
Okay, yep.
And that was really fun. Mm. And then I did a European tour of the musical Greece, maybe like a few years later, for about a year and a half. And I played one of the pink ladies, Marty, and then I covered Sandy, and then ended up doing Sandy for like the last 2 or 3 months of the tour. But got to go all over. Started in Germany and then Switzerland and Istanbul.
Oh my gosh.
So yeah, it was pretty spectacular. And
so you met a lot of people. Were you dating? How was that all working out on that part with traveling?
It's hard. It's definitely challenging. I mean, a lot of times I had a boyfriend at the time who was in the same show as me.
Okay.
So we were on tour together and you know, that was great. But that's one of the hard parts about show business is definitely your social life and a sense of normalcy dating, because you have such a different schedule than the rest of
the world.
Yeah. So, you know, I didn't really have anything serious at that point.
Mm-hmm.
So
when the show was over, your relationship kind of ended.
Yep. You're kind of like in a bubble and you do become each other's, you know, best friend, because when you're in a foreign country and you're the only ones that speak the same language, it's bonding.
Right.
But then you get out of that little disillusionment and you're kind of like back into reality, and it's just different.
Yeah. It's a lot to kind of work through. Mm-hmm. And did you have anyone that helped you with some of those personal challenges?
Like a therapist type of person or a mentor?
Yeah, or anywhere else did you get some support? Yeah.
You know, I never really like had a life coach or a therapist or that sort of thing until I moved here.
Okay.
And it was interesting because I spent, 9 years in New York, and my goal at that time was that I wanted to be on Broadway. Like, that's the only thing that I wanted to do, and that I didn't feel like I would have made it unless I was on Broadway. And so when I moved here, well, I'll back up a little bit. Before I moved here, I was in a fire in New York in my apartment. I had a candle going, and there were flames coming out of my bathroom. It caught fire on the back wall.
Oh, my gosh.
And, kind of went through the tragedy of losing everything. I mean, I was fine. Everyone in my building was fine, but it was condemned. And that kind of started a whole new reevaluation of my life, and that was in 2005.
Okay.
And that's when I really had to rethink. And I'd been in New York since 1997, so that was 8 years.
Okay.
And it can be a grind. I mean, as wonderful as it is, it can also be really tough because you have your survival jobs in order to make enough money to live there.
Yeah.
But you got to remember why you're there, which is to do theater. And so you have to take those opportunities to audition and to travel a little bit. So you have to find the types of survival jobs, we call them, where you can make a living,
yes,
but you also have flexibility. And I had a phenomenal, I was lucky. I mean, I've done a million different jobs, but the last job that I had for the longest amount of time was I was in special events, which kind of leads up to what I'm doing now.
Okay.
I worked in an executive recruiting company, and I worked in the special events department. So I learned how to throw really high-end, first-class events. The boss that I had at the time was super supportive and loved the arts and was on the board at the MoMA and, just loved that I was in the theater. So I felt really fortunate. I could kind of come and go there as I wanted with auditioning and touring and that sort of thing.
Okay.
So little did I know at that point that that was going to also be helpful in what I'm doing right now is, in, to do events.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Well, that's a perfect ending spot because we would like to hear more about your work and how you started your venture. You exude effervescence and so much confidence that I'm sure starting your venture was something that once the seed was planted, you were kind of off and running. So let's talk about that in our next session.
Great.
Great. All right. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you next Monday.